The Koigig Pod on Off The Ball.
And it's true, like, legend of the game, and I think it's one of those that a lot of people don't really realise how much he's achieved, not only in football, but in all, overall sporting.
Subscribe to The Koigig Pod on the Off The Ball app now.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews, and who's our newest contributor, Paddy, in your arms?
Oh, Aidan Andrews, making her debut. So let's not be too loud tonight.
Is she mic'd up?
She's not bad. No, she's snoozing here, lads. So she'll hopefully stay fast asleep for all the shite we're going to talk now in the next 45 minutes or so.
But, you look like butter wouldn't melt in your mouth, Nolly. Like, you just look...
She's happy. I wish I looked like you're a sun-kissed, Jimmy, and not from being at games this weekend. You're away.
Yes.
I
still watch more football this weekend than I do on the majority of weekends. I was off today, so I caught up on a couple of games, and I saw the Kerry game live. We had the GAA Plus. And the Dublin game, actually, as well. So I caught up on lots of things. To be fair... There is access to an awful lot of matches. Like, you know, you don't miss much if you have the time. So it is a good system going on at the moment.
Well, apparently, the biggest story of the weekend, which no one really expected, was yesterday. Mm-hmm. There was no real coverage. I know a bit of the Sunday game last night, but Mayo. We knew they weren't at their peak, but we didn't have them losing that game at Castlebar, so...
Of all the pundits...
That is a shock, too. That's a big shock. Come on.
But of all the pundits I listened to, Paddy... You know, last week, there's one man who kind of talked up Cavan and maybe a demise for Mayo, and he's sitting beside you here. He's sun-kissed after his weekend in Portugal. Or do you forget?
That was after about 10 points. From Portugal, you gave that prediction.
No, I did. I didn't say they win, but I knew that it would be a sticky one. Mayo just are not going well. Obviously, we've said it so many times now. It doesn't need to be said again. But Cavan would have been going up with so much confidence. And they played well. Obviously, we didn't see the full game because there was no full game coverage. Saw the highlights. And in fairness, every score they took, like, they got into the middle of the scoring zone to chip over some lovely points. And as well, they obviously executed a load of two-pointers, which are so hard to come back from if you're going poorly and the opposition is chipping over two-pointers. And then obviously the story maybe even of the Cavan thing was to get Paddy Lynch back, kicked a great score with the left. Yeah. So just all good news for Cavan. You could just tell they were bouncing. But Mayo were so flat. No creativity. Cohen was near their top scorer from play. Did he get four from play?
Four. Yeah.
You know, like they're just not going well. And I must say, like, they are in serious, serious trouble. They need to now pull off a result that you could argue they're not capable of to stay in the championship.
Yeah,
they have to either beat Tyrone or beat Donegal.
Yeah, and that Tyrone game is in...
So you're thinking they're going to be in the world of trouble.
That Tyrone game is in Healy Park. Donegal game will be the round three clash in a neutral venue. I'm going to defer briefly to Paul Fitzpatrick of the Anglo-Celt here, one of the finest journalists on the beat. With just over 10 minutes to go here, a long ball was aimed in the direction of Aidan O'Shea. His marker, Killian Brady, rose highest to break it, and when the ball bounced, three Cavan men descended on it. That was the story of this All-Ireland Senior Football Championship clash, as Cavan out-hustled a Mayo side who came in as 1-6 favourites, and if anything, the final scoreline flattered the hosts, for whom O'Shea hit the net in the last play of the game. 8 points Cavan led late on. They were actually even dealt the hammer blow of two of their younger attackers, Barry Donnelly and Sean McAvoy, who both started well, going off injured. I was sort of talking up their hopes earlier in the week as well, given the fact that I thought Paddy Lynch might be back starting. He only got 15 minutes, and there was no Garob McKiernan. So for Cavan to go out and produce this after such a flat and poor performance themselves a month ago against Tyrone in the Ulster Championship, it just shows you the work that Ray McGalligan has done in the last couple of weeks and perhaps the belief that he had infused them with heading into McHale Park.
Yeah, that was the thing, Tommy. You said it, like, we're kind of going in. Were there any kind of warning signs or green shoots from Cavan that they could go and give this performance? We know Mayo aren't going well, and we're all in agreement that we've covered a lot of Mayo, a lot of their games. But that Cavan performance at Healy Park was just, like, they would have fancied their chances in that game, but it was just Tyrone cruised through that match, and you thought, okay, Paddy Lynch, we know how important he is. He's an unbelievable, he's a top quality forward. So the fact that he might come back, but after such a long layoff, was he going to have the impact to shoot Cavan to victory there? Hand on heart, I just did not see it. With all Mayo's issues, when you look at we weren't at the game, so we're just getting a feel for from looking at it on the telly. It just looked like total flatness from Mayo. Everything that was good about their Connacht final performance, where at times they were really going to town on Galway, but they were just totally flat. And the 24 hours beforehand, Galway gave such a similar performance to that in Salt Hill. They were just operating in second or third gear. They just couldn't seem to have any kick or energy for their entire performance against Dublin as well. So it was a surprise. Mayo is probably the story of the weekend. Cavan, you think if a team gets a win, kind of puts you through to the preliminary stages at least. And Mayo, you said it there, like to go up to Tyrone and then play the hardest game in neutral against Donegal. They're in a bad position. Like, that is the game next day. You would have been hanging his hat on going, let's get the 2 points here. We nearly have a shot to nothing in the next two games. But it's just the latest worrying sign. And it's hard to see a way back for Mayo.
Yeah.
You know, with the old failings. But when they don't have the energy and they're as flat as they were, they are so ordinary. And that's what we've seen yesterday.
James, I might throw this to you. If you just to put it to you. But Mádaigh Clárkán, it's not like, it's something that it's kind of been out there in the ether for the last couple of seasons as well. Mádaigh Clárkán's written his piece this weekend, after the weekend, and it's Mayo. Ponderous Mayo find out how dangerous it is to overthink their game plan in the new rules era, okay? And he says it that Mayo, as has been their way for long stretches this season, were far more methodical and one-paced. He reckoned that, which that would be fine if they were winning, but McStay and his brain's trust looked to have decided that all the years of chaos and carnival, which we retreated to over the last 15 years, were ultimately not the answer, and that if they were going to eventually reach the top of the mountain, they'd have to do it in a much steadier and more structured manner. It makes logical sense, some logical sense, certainly, but when you're losing at home in front of a tiny crowd to a lower division team, it smacks of overthinking. He makes the point as well, it doesn't feel like Mayo have fully embraced the new rules. He had some stats that they haven't outscored any of the teams that they've played this year in terms of two-pointers, and they were all lower division teams apart from the Connacht final. And I suppose, yeah, their scoring metrics are just so low, and we're seeing the scores that, look at down, 327 at the weekend that they're racking up. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing them play a different style than what you would have been used to?
I'm just looking at their team sheet from the weekend, right? And what I'm used to from Mayo is attacks from deep with overloads. There's two fellas coming at you. They're slipping it. Next thing, they might be getting a crash off the full forward line and it's being finished off. It could be finished off by anyone on the field. And it used to be almost a half back line. Someone like Boyle or Keegan or Higgins or someone like that coming through with unbelievable skill and pace and execution. But now they're not getting any of those scores from the back. They're also not risking any kick passes. I'd say the only ball they put in was that one to Aidan Shea that he caught. So I don't know what their thing is. They don't seem to have any style of play other than, as I said when I criticised them before, unfortunately, was that they just shoveled the ball to the side an awful lot. And that's so easy to defend at times. The only man that really wants to kind of take on a man is, in fairness, David Neary or Ryan O'Donoghue. But like, it doesn't seem to be in the team to be standing up a man and going at them. Like, we'll go into the Dublin Galway game, it happens so often by the Dublin forwards, but Mayo just looks so toothless in attack. And then in defence, like, Cavan breezed through them so many times. Like, just walked in and chipped the ball over, or they were scoring in the world of space. Like, kicking points with 20 yards of space. I couldn't believe the amount of space they had. Even when I think about, to think back to Mayo being this show-stopping team that you're talking about, and everything was played at 100 miles an hour. Every shot you got, whether a fella was going to block it or not, he was diving on your boot. Or there was someone coming in to give you a dunt afterwards. Or, you know, they were just at it. You could tell they were an intense championship team. They didn't have that feeling the weekend either. Now, you could say maybe, did they fall into the biggest trap and take their eye off the ball and almost think that they're going to get these 2 points and they took them for granted? That's nearly a worse sign of a team. So I don't think that usually is any problem for me. They're usually bang at it, but they were just toothless, is the word I'd use.
Just on some of the camp, because Mayo could have been toothless and still got through it, and we might have overlooked it, you know. But like Cavan absolutely made hay. Like I thought Paul Fitzpatrick's opening line there with Brady breaking the ball down and three Cavan men hoovering it up. Like they ate them alive. And I was at the Limerick Cork game at the weekend, and I wanted to come to Paddy on this a little later. So I'm going to press pause on the question I have about mental preparation. But Limerick absolutely ate Cork alive in the middle eight in that game in the hurling at the weekend. Like there was times when there was a turnover with four or five Limerick men on one Cork man. And it was incredible. And at the weekend, Cavan, they ran hard. You had the likes of Kieran Brady and Pádraig Faulkner in the half back line. You had McVeady and Oisin Kiernan who kicked 4 points. You know, Cormac O'Reilly in the corner forward had a couple of great points. Jared Smith buried a goal after half time. Keane Riley stops a goal at cornerback, gets up and scores a point. You're talking about fellas being in 20 yards of space, James. The cornerback, Keane Riley and Breen O'Connell, scored 2 points in the second half. Nobody near them. Cornerback and fullback. You know, like if there's no pressure on you, anyone's going to slot over their scores. So I just thought it was a really, really impressive.
But is that, Tommy, and Malachy's point there in that article, like, and we're probably all guilty of this. Mayo, we're looking at Mayo through the lens of what they were like 4 or 5 years ago. That brilliant team when chaos reigned. But look at the players they had then. Like they're players from deep team. You were talking about Keith Higgins, Donny Vaughan, Colin Boyne, Lee Keegan, Paddy Durkin, I know has been injured. He's still there, but those players, that was their game. They were exceptional players at playing that way. And you're right, playing in the forward line against Mayo was a war zone. We've covered it off so often. They don't have those type of players anymore.
But what's their thing? What's their way of attacking? When they're in the dressing room and they're going, Yeah, I don't think they do either.
I don't think they have anything. You know, they're not, like you said it, Tommy, you look at the scores Cavan were kicking. It's not like, okay, the age-old thing with Mayo, we've covered this to death this season, but this iteration of Mayo, they struggle for scores. They struggle for creativity. That isn't that the new. But before, they had this swashbuckling attack from everywhere, and they had brilliant defenders, one-on-one battles. We aren't seeing that side from Mayo either. So you're looking at a team who are low on confidence. There's no two ways about it. They struggle for scores, and you look across all the games this weekend. You said it, teams are racking up massive scores, and Mayo just are not at any stage of the season, exactly. And then you go, well, can we hang our hat on being really miserly defensively? And they ain't doing that either. So Mayo at their best in that stage is in that Connacht final. That's their kind of toughest championship game before the Cavan match. He said, okay, when they bring a little bit of chaos, they can still pull something out of the bag, at least reach a certain level of performance. But when they're off it, like they clearly were in terms of just their energy and their fight, which is incredible for me, because that's something you'd always go with them on. But when that is off, they are so ordinary, like completely and utterly outplayed at home by a Division II team. This is not, like, credit to Cavan, brilliant result for them, and what a result for them in terms of going forward, that they should get out of the group now, you would think. But this wasn't Kerry or a Donegal or an Armagh coming to town and taking them out. This was a Division II team who absolutely bossed the ball over the pitch. And what a tough place for Kevin McStay and those players. Put it this way, if I'm McStay, it's a hard sell to go to the players they're going, but there's still more in us here, because we're just... their border lights are flashing big style in all aspects of the game.
As is Kevin's style, he's a very good communicator, and you know, you can see the quotes that he's put out, the message he's put out to the journalists afterwards. And he was sort of saying, if that game went on a little longer, we'd have pulled it back.
They were down 8 points. Cavan.
I know, but it was all about Cavan. I just think they've had so many close calls over the last couple of years. And I made this point that maybe I made it too strongly on air this morning on Off the Ball. But I just said that was them done. I just get the sense that they are. Much the same way that the Clare Hurlers were knocked out early this year, it didn't feel like they had it in them to have a long summer again this year. Yeah,
the only way I think I could see a way back, and it could be a way back, is if they tear up the book and go at it with something completely different tactically. Yeah. And get everyone to buy into it. I always say that freshness is needed. They look so stale and so sick of playing football that they need something new to get excited by. But like, I know we're saying about Mayo, the story is still a Cavan win. Like, it's an unbelievable result by Cavan.
Yeah.
And like, they deserved that win. They were beating Mayo so well. Yeah. They outplayed them. And now they have a shot to nothing. I think they'll go through. But against one of the other big boys, they're going to have a shot to nothing. I guarantee they'll probably get close in one of those games. You never know, they might get over the line and to get an easier next round game. But yeah, like, it's an unbelievable result by them. And now the pressure is completely off.
For Cavan, Jimmy, they get a rematch with Tyrone. Like, there's no doubt. I know we'll move on to the Dublin Galway game now, but Cavan would have left Healy Park and just, like, they knew themselves that wasn't good enough from them.
Yeah.
You know, that they just didn't perform. But we've all been in dressing rooms, lads, where they build up to a big game and it just doesn't happen for you. And okay, it's never nice losing, but if you shoot the lights out and you have a great game and a team just beats you by 3 or 4 points and go, we left it all out there. But Cavan would have, that Ulster Championship game against Tyrone, they would have been like, we didn't do ourselves justice there. So for them to get the opportunity, they will be guaranteed better the next time they play Tyrone.
Yeah.
And they've got the opportunity. They would have thought it might be, you know, National League next year or maybe an Ulster Championship next year, but they've got a quick go at it now.
Well, and what like you think
the buzz they'll have. So that's an opportunity for them as well.
But Paddy, think back to last April. Cavan had that unbelievable win against Monaghan in the preliminary round. They then run Tyrone to extra time, so they've got Paddy Lynch back. Maybe with
Where's the Cavan Tyrone game on?
That game is going to be neutral in the last round. It's going to be a neutral game.
So Cavan's home game is the Donegal game of Brefty, is it?
Yeah. I just want to, before we get on to the other games here, the Leinster Minor football final is on at the minute on Teach Car, and I have half an eye on it. There's a half an hour on the clock. It's about to go half time. It's been a hell of a game so far. Louder winning by 10 points to 1-6. But there's just a couple of little quirks. And James, like, you've played a couple of games, so I want to get your take on it. Killian McQuillan is the Loud midfielder, right? Number 9. He's highlighted on the game beforehand, saying this big thing's expected of this fella. His Loud teammate wins the throw-in. He obviously starts on the sideline. The ball is given to him. He drives through and gets a point after 10 seconds. Teams have to be scoring from that throw-in, don't they?
Mm. That throw-in is nearly a goal chance at the moment. If you win it, and the man on the sideline is on his bike, like Galway put Walsh out there. Like if that person is going at the goal at pace and you have a 2v1 almost like a merchant kind of situation going straight at the goal, it is a great launch pad. And as well, if it's the first play of a big game and you get a score straight away, it's some lift for your side and it's a downer for the opposition. It's almost like, oh, here we go. Whereas like if you're the one to take that initiative and get that score, it's huge. So it's a huge tone setter, yeah.
The other thing, so that was McQuillan's point. The other thing is, Jack Ryan, the Offaly goalkeeper, has scored a beautiful 2-point free from out the field. But Conal Kelly from Loud has scored 3 of them. And what I've noticed him doing is, even if the ball is brought to the top of the 45, he's taken him off the deck from the 45. He hit one from about 60 yards as well, like an absolutely outrageous strike. This is a minor now for a 2-point free. So whatever about the debate about the value of a 2-point free, taking him off the deck, James, have you noticed any of a difference there between someone taking him from the hands or the deck? Or is it, like, should every club team around the country be developing somebody to take them from the top of the arc off the deck?
I think ideally, yes.
Like in Legion, what would you rather have a go at it from a little further out?
I know people say, oh, you should have an off the ground free taker. It's an unbelievable skill to have. Like, it's not an easy thing to just say, take that off the ground. You know, like you're kicking the ball out of your hands all your life, you must have a million reps done. They say 10,000 hours to become an expert. Every Tom, Dick and Harry is 10,000 hours kicking the ball off the hands. So to actually put it on the deck and learn that skill, it's not easy. It's only really skillful fellas who can actually do that repetitively and actually successfully. So ideally, yes, I would love for everyone to have a Shawnee Shea or Brian Sheehan or...
Yeah, or a Conal Kelly from the Loud Miners, because that was an exhibition.
Or a Mulroy, like Dean Rock. Like, these fellas won their teams championships, not just matches. Yeah. So, it's
clutch, though. Yeah, it was Dylan Dunn who buried the early goal for Offaly. So it's 1-6 to 11 points at the break. We'll probably be finished by the time that game finishes, but like, we'll be talking
about I think sometimes if you're nervous or tired and things, less things can go wrong
off the deck kick,
yeah. Mm. Like sometimes off the hands, if you're jittery or wobbly or the wind is blowing and it's blowing your hand or blowing the ball out of your hand, there's a couple of different factors that can go wrong. But the off the deck, if your regime is in, you should be more solid.
Yeah, you need to get the reps in. Best of luck to both of those teams. It's a great game of football. It's on TG Carr, so you can watch it back later if you've missed it. And Louth football is in some shape at the minute. And Offaly football too, they've been rising for the last couple of years. Paddy, let's get to Salt Hill, right? We'll come back to the other two games afterwards. But I think in Salt Hill, we saw an unbelievable response from the Dubs. There was kind of whispers that this was coming. I mentioned the challenge game circuit, you know, and the build up to it, that there is word going around that the Dubs are flying it. But I think we saw a response from A, they're probably their main players, and B, the players that have been given an opportunity, the likes of Theo Clancy, Pat O'Coffey Byrne, some of the players in the fringe, Lorcan O'Dell, really grabbed that game by the scruff of the neck at the weekend before maybe.
Killian McGuinness as well. Superb. First half, yeah, exceptional. Yeah.
So talk to us about what you saw, because you obviously had you were on the sideline for GA Plus at the weekend.
I was there. It was a really good game, and we kind of made this point with Dublin last week. They're not as bad as what they showed against Meath. Mm. We accept they've lost a lot of quality, a lot of experience in the team. You know, this drop off from their unbelievably high levels has been coming, and Meath was kind of like a ground zero moment for us. You expected some sort of bounce back. But the issue for Dublin was, they were going to one of the All-Ireland favourites in their next game, which was not the easiest game to get a bounce back. But we made the point, did on air on Saturday, that if you frame it in a positive way, that this is a new beginning, the All-Ireland series, a win for Dublin, and people forget about what happened in the main match. You know, outside the camp, inside the camp, it's just full steam ahead. I wasn't massively confident that they'd get it on Saturday. Okay. But you're right, you hit the nail on the head. Dublin's, you can really simply break it down, Dublin's key players dominated the game. Kilkenny was as good as I've seen him play in a couple of years. You know, and he's one of the best players to ever play for Dublin, but we see that
Conor Callaghan. Why was Kilkenny so good?
It was a bit of that, I don't even spoke to a few of those, I know him very well. He has a bit of that thickness in him. You know, a bit of that rawness where everyone in that Dublin camp was stung after that Meath performance. They, like we were talking about Cavan earlier, knew they did not do themselves justice. That was an almighty kick in the hole. And Kieran is one of the absolute key figureheads in that team. And he would have taken that, you know, to Michael Jordan, I'll take that personally. But also the point, and I said this with Kieran, with Conn, Smiley's gone back, but it's Brian Howard, Niall Scuddy, those guys have been there for a decade. And that they would have been very, very close with a lot of the guys who left. And all of a sudden, there's an element of going, Jesus, this is a whole new team. Everyone thinks we're shit now. We're gonna show them. And I got the sense of them, I've seen it in glimpses throughout the season. It hasn't been as consistent because there's loads of new players in the team. But that performance on Saturday just absolutely struck doggedness. Like we talked about the kick-out battle and Galway strike there. Yeah. And Dublin were going to do anything. They had to think of something innovative or creative with Clucko and movement and all this type of stuff to try and get a platform. They didn't do any of that, lads. They literally, Clucko put the ball on the tee and just goes, right, who's out in the left wing? And I'm going to hit it out there. And Dublin were animals. Brian Howard spoke to us after and he mentions, goes, we just treated it like a war zone. That was the mentality coming in. And what Cavan did to Mayo, that edge, I couldn't believe it. Over the stand side, Clucker puts two or three kickouts over to Kieran, to Kenny, and John Maher is on him, and then Killian McDade is on him. They're way bigger.
I would have always thought Kilkenny was 6 foot one or two. No,
no, no. Maybe he says that in the Sunday game now. He's only about 5'8", like we all do. They're Dublin, and not just them, like Howard as well. Like Pat O'Coffey Byrne is a joint, but Dublin are giving up size there. But it was just the intensity, the breaking ball, winning clean catches, and it was just, as crude as it may sound, they were just animals for that game. And on the other side, you cannot get away from it, and Pádraig Joyce will be absolutely pulling his hair out at it, and those Galway players, because as good as Dublin's key guys were, Conn before he goes off, Kieran Kilkenny, Bugler coming back, the incisionary Clucko reeling back the ear, saves, kickouts, Galway's key guys. I thought they were beyond this as a team. They were anonymous. Outside of Rob Finnerty, Shane Walsh has a bit of a pass because he's missed a lot of football. Even Shane Walsh at his best can be a bit erratic at times, but the likes of guys we've lauded, Killian McDade, Johnny Marr, these guys, they just weren't in the game. Dublin were not doing anything. This 20 lads moving around and they've come up with this unbelievably innovative play. It was a conference of, put it this way, outside the camp, maybe that aura is gone. But Dublin played in the camp, they're still thinking, oh, fuck this. We can do this. Yeah. We'll meet this challenge head on. And they did. And outside of 5 minutes after half time from Galway, where they did kind of, you would imagine, Joyce annihilated them at half time. And they come out, they get the goal, and you think, okay, this is Galway. The crowd get involved. But that was literally 5 minutes, and then it goes again. Galway were bad. Galway won't be that bad again. Their key guys did not perform. And Dublin, and we said it last week, they still have 4 or 5 the highest quality players. If those guys get hot, they can do that to any team. Dublin still have issues in 8th. And look at the 2 Galway goals that, defensively, they go up to, they play our man next in 2 weeks' time. But they roared back into the championship on the back of a bit of fucking dogger discovery. We ain't done yet. And their key guys standing up. I thought it was a pleasant surprise, but it was delighted for them because they went balls out and they answered a fair few critics.
James, do you want to hop in before I ask you a direct question?
What's the direct question for?
You go first.
Dublin started so well and they could have nearly been out of sight in the first half, because if you think back to Basquiat, had 3 misses that he would never miss, right? And then he broke from a kick out and he was actually through on goal. He slips to the corner, who gets done for over-carrying. I reckon if he'd gotten 2 out of those first 3 shots he'd taken and missed, he'd have just nearly done a dummy and actually buried it himself. So Galway were
100% to me. 100%.
Yeah. They weren't at it Galway from the start, and Dublin set an intensity. And I think this might be their X factor going forward. They can get to an intensity to match the very best. And it's driven by the leadership of Kilkenny. Kilkenny's tackle on Walsh, probably a foul where he pushed him over the sideline, but still, he saw Walsh and he said, fucking, I'm going for this fella. And he did the same then. He actually won, was it Malloy hand-passed the ball off his knee and it went out for a sideline. And McDade ends up kicking a hopeful ball across the square late on. Do you remember that with 5 minutes to go?
Yeah.
I think it was level. And Galway had the ball. And next thing, Kilkenny did that tackle, which is brilliant. And they forced Galway into the corner. And McDade just launches a hopeful ball across. And that was it then. The Dubs had the ball back. And they were going to win. But it was all from him. I thought he was just the heartbeat of the team.
Jimmy, there was 2 plays. Which the Walsh thing, without a doubt. That's Kieran looks up at a Shane Walsh. And it was like, I'm milling you. You're their key guy. I'm going after you. And you could the lift in the crowd, but even see the body language around the Dublin players. And he gets a score in the second half as well.
Yeah.
And it's Paul Conroy's in front of him. Conroy didn't have his best day by any means. But Kieran was was going around top of the arc, around to the stand side. And he's kind of looking up pass it anyway, and sees it's Conroy in front of him. And it was like a red rag to a ball. It was like, I'm going to burn you here as well and kick the score. And it was like you know the famous Darryl O'Shea hammer to hammer, and that was, you could see it was like, oh, you got a buzz out of it, because here's one of Dublin's leaders going after the Galway leaders. And it wasn't Kieran was exceptional. Conn before he goes off,
but Conn forces the turnover for the goal for Costello on Silk. He gets injured with another turnover that leads to a score.
Yeah,
If that's a hammer, he's in trouble.
Yeah, it did.
Hard to know.
Look, it's 2 weeks' time there, Maggie. The Dublin need him, of course. I'm guilty of this guy. Would you play Conn inside and just kick the ball into him and have him play nearly like David Clifford? But he's so good at doing it. We've seen him do it with Cooley and their success.
He's got to kick out.
And the one thing where Galway really struggled with, right, and this was very good from Dublin, their movement and rotation of their forwards. Galway were scratching their heads and trying to get matchups. Like we'd see, Johnny McGrath is expecting, Conn's going to play inside, they're going to go to him. But then all of a sudden, Conn is playing midfield, and then he's in the half-back line. He swapped, and Bugler we keep looking at this going, how is Bugler getting so free all the time? He's kicking all these scores. Bugler actually is playing wing back. And teams are going like, where do we get this guy?
He could have any number on his back from 1 to 30. No one knows where Bugler is actually plays.
We've seen him with Connolly the week before. They're kind of going, why have Duddy gone not put someone on him? And then you look at the next play and Connolly's playing the corner back. And then the next play, it's just, I think Chris McCaig did a piece on this. It was a couple of weeks, I seen it online somewhere, and he was talking about man marking and that. The game had kind of moved away from it because so much transition players and the way the game was played. But under the new rules, it seems, Galway were definitely flummoxed. They would have plans to mark these guys. And you could see it. I was looking at Johnny McGrath's kind of looking going, will I go out there? And all of a sudden they're playing midfield. We're playing centre forward because Conn's played half back for Dublin. So Galway struggle with that. But Conn's role all over the pitch, outside of just the glamorous stuff, it was so important to Dublin. And that's... one, I just want to give a shout out. You mentioned it, T. The key Dublin players stood up and it was brilliant. It was incredible and they drove the thing. But Theo Clancy at fullback, Padder O'Coughlin-Burren at midfield, Lorcan O'Dell, Killian McGuinness, these guys who are new on the scene, have not got that legacy of kind of performance at the highest level, and they came in and announced themselves there as well. And that was a question. Do these guys have it? Yes. Can they play and take out, you know, key players in the opposition at the very highest level? We hadn't seen it from them yet. Would they ever get there? We don't know. But what we seen on Saturday from those guys, just examples, they talk about rising to the occasion. And they do that on the back of, well, there's Kilkenny's going after all these fellas. Let's just go with them. You know, type thing.
You could see it. It
was positive. Caveat, Galway will be way better. That is a kick. Almighty kick in the arse for them. They're in a tough position. They've got to go away to Derry and get a result, but they won't be as bad again. And Dublin, as good a win as that is, they play Armagh Croker in 2 weeks' time. Dublin still have, and particularly if there's knocks and niggles, they lose Paddy Swell before they're feckin' throwing. But look at the goals Galway got. There's still a little bit of a worry defensively. That has not gone away on the back of just one result. But what it does is it propels them back into... It gives confidence to the team and the group, but they've got to try and be consistent if they're going to keep the show on the road. But Saturday was some star for them.
I have a couple of short, direct questions. James, do you want to hop in before I ask them? You look like
I just want to say about Lorcan O'Dell, I thought he was sensational in the second half. Like, we're seeing so many slow attacks. I said that shoveling the ball side to side. Every time he got it, he wanted to take on his man. And sometimes you actually get more space to take on your man on the 40 or maybe around the half back line because outside there, you know, you probably might have your more physical players, but in terms of defensively, they might not actually be as good at one-on-one defending. So we stood his man up every time it went at him. Like there's almost too much passing going on in GA at times.
Yeah.
Like, spoken like, through corner forward. Like.
Yeah. The only time you should be passing it. If someone's running after shoulder, you're kicking it into the full forward line or you're creating a goal chance. Otherwise, go at your man. He's going to either foul you, you're going to create something, you're showing initiative, you're putting him on the back foot. There's too much passing the buck and passing responsibility. I thought Lorcan O'Dell did a great job of taking that on. And the other point I have to make is about the end of the game. It's almost gone a little like the club scene. Do you remember when we said, we used to joke, we'll kind of,
tune in.
It'll all come down to the last 5 or 10. I think that everything is just happening to set you up for the last 5 or 10 because teams have gotten so good at game management and the scenario of the end of the game. So you need to put yourself in position and then play out that last 5 or 10 perfectly. And my point about this is, if you look at the players who had gone off at that stage, right?
Yeah.
Like Bugler had gone off, who's arguably Dublin's best player. Kilkenny was on but injured. Conn had gone off. Shane Walsh had gone off. Conroy had gone off. Do you know, like you really do have to have a strong group. Like as much as you want your core 15 to be good, if the whole game is coming down to that last 7 or 8 minutes, a couple of big plays, and your big guns are gone off, you're trusting the second wave of players, if you know what I mean. It's kind of a funny one, but like,
okay,
it's just such
Jimmy,
a key spell of the game.
Cloco was still on the pitch, baby.
Yes. What a kick out.
But you know, I can't be critical of
put
Galway
some respect
there.
On his name. Like.
Step up and win that kick out, though.
They were knackered. They were out on their feet. Both teams were.
Okay.
But Clark, I was like, right, there you go. Off you go. Class.
It was unbelievable. Can I ask a question about game management? And you might hammer me for this, right? My instinct at 68:55 on the clock, when John Daly has that free in his hand. I don't know what the free was for. I actually don't know what the free was for, but the...
It was brought up very harshly.
Yeah, Goff brings it forward from 145 to the other. Is that 50 yards? It must be. And then John Daly has the ball. It's 68:55 on the clock. We're playing to the hooter. There's a minute and 5 seconds left. Like, John Daly plays an unbelievable outside of the left boot ball. He threads it through a needle to Matthew Tierney, who beats his man. And Tierney, like, I'm looking at Tierney here. There's a half a chance of maybe slipping into Sean Kelly for a goal. He beats his man on the inside. He takes his point. It's a draw game now. There's 69 minutes and 5 seconds on the clock before Clarkson gets to that final kick out, right? And actually, by the time Clarkson takes the kick out, it is 69:30 or so.
Yeah.
But
once he takes the kick out, they have all the time in the world.
That's it. But should Galway, a point down on the 45, should John Daly have put the ball on the deck and allowed Conor Gleeson, while the 2-point free is there, allow Conor Gleeson to come up, eat a bit of time, and strike it like he did in the Connacht final last year? I know conditions are different, but he's kicked the clutch kick before. I've been told his percentages aren't the greatest. I've seen him kick big kicks in the last minute of games, two last year in the Connacht final. Like, as a team, thinking of the moment and thinking of game management, Paddy, what would you have rather your player done that moment?
It's easy in hindsight. Now, Galway get the score and equalise. Yeah. John Daly, it's a risky kick pass. So you can't... It's harsh to give out to a team from actually getting the score. If Shane Walsh is on the pitch, I think they stop and he goes for the 2-pointer. And that's the last kick of the game. I know Gleeson got the kick. Now, that was into a breeze, lads, from Salt Hill. Even though it was 23 degrees, there was a very stiff breeze into that goal. I think, honestly, if you had like an absolute grade A shooter, like if Shane Walsh was still on the pitch, maybe that theory has more credibility.
Okay.
If it's Kerry and Sean O'Shea is there, if it's Dublin and Dean Rock is there, I don't know if Conor Gleeson has enough credit in the bank. Despite that kick in the Connacht final to beat Mayo, that you hang it, because that's it. They're taking the risk. This is like Leinster rugby, man. We're going to take the risk for the win.
Yeah.
They run the clock down. I was like, Gleeson has that kick to win and go a point ahead. I don't think I wouldn't have been as confident hanging my hat on him. And Galway weren't, obviously. I think they told me they worked the score. Like, they get the equaliser. If Shane Walsh is there, I think it might have a different... They might have a different approach.
James, that's probably fair in hindsight. And I'd imagine that Galway would back themselves in general to put a high press on, steal the next kick out, and still get one more chance to win it. If you're in Galway, you're probably thinking that too. So possibly that's harsh.
I think the mistake was in their kick out to let Clarkson get out again off a free. Because say if you score a point from play, you kind of have no chance to set up the kick out.
Mm.
But the fact the free was actually brought forward, so everyone had time to step up.
Push up with him.
And then there was obviously a stop for the free, and then they got the score. I understand the point that they were knackered, but that's the way it goes. Even if they did, Shane Walsh did kick that point, or Gleeson did kick that point, and Clarkson got it out on 69 minutes and 59 seconds, right? Dublin could just have easily got a 2-pointer as a 1-pointer, because they were playing with a very strong wind. In hindsight, I think they were right to just get the point, but I think the mistake maybe that they made was not competing for that kick out strong enough at the time.
But we said it, lads, the week before the Leinster final, going Billy Hogan, when Craig Lennon gets that score and it's a Meade kick out, they'll now do unbelievably, but they do what Galway didn't do. They set up, they slow it down, and once you see Billy Hogan go along with that kick out, you know the odds are in Louth's favour here, whereas Clucko was just electric. Spots it, and whatever he's lost maybe in length and distance, like could be in comparison to maybe 4 or 5 years ago, or in comparison to Patton or Rafferty or Beggin or these guys, there's no one who'd rather have in that position.
He had one intercepted by Thompson, he backed himself to rectify it.
Lads, he's always got to back himself. There's no, he ain't sitting there going, I hit a bad one there 15 years ago, I'm going to go with this again. Mm-hmm. And he was another example of the experienced leadership of the Dublin team going, right, we're going to deliver here. And it was, I'm obviously biased from a Dublin perspective. It was great to see. It was another great game, excitement again. And Galway are not out of this yet, lads. That's all I'm saying.
They're not. No.
Paul Jones has a lot of ammo to go at them and go, do you know what? I'm not even angry at you. I'm just disappointed. And they go up and play Derry. It's not easy, but I don't think all of those players can play as bad again. I'd be amazed. Okay. I think they're a far better team than what we see.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick break on the Football Pod. It's brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Just to give you an update on this rip-roaring game in the Leinster Minor Final. Offaly drew level there with a goal from Tony Fury. Loud have hit back with two goals. We're only 10 minutes into the second half. Loud 2-12, Offaly 2-7. Wait till you see Jack Martin's goal later on. You'll both love this. Long ball over the top. I think he gives the defender a nudge, wins it 20 yards out, takes a step, bang, bottom corner. Beautiful goal. So Loud are 5 clear at the minute, and the treble is on. That was for Loud, Jack Martin for Loud. So the treble is on for Loud here with about 20 minutes to go in that game.
The domestic treble.
We're back. We're back after this. And Eden's first podcast performance, she's been very impressive.
She's loving it. It just shows how much shite we're talking, lad. She's been asleep for the whole 41 minutes.
She's happy out. We're back.
Once we make a good point, she raised her eyebrow a few times, Jimmy, at some of the stuff you were saying, but other than that.
She was nodding as well. She was like, yes, correct.
Correct. Her first word was correct.
OTB GAA. You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Fellas, there was another two games in the All-Ireland Series. There was a clatter of games in the Tailteann Cup as well. We've got Eden with us too, who's making her debut on the pod this afternoon. Hugo's obviously in bed, Paddy. We haven't had the two of them on in the one pod.
It would not be as serene if the Huguenator was here with us, that is for certain.
That's fair. James, before we get to Kerry, and another Kerry man, Peter Keane, in charge of Clare, at home this weekend, they were mowed down by Down, 116 to 327. Now, Eden's on the call, so I'm not going to repeat the words that were used in a post-match presser, but a couple of buttons were pressed after the game by a local reporter in Clare, and Keane didn't take to them too kindly. He was asked, has Clare football gone backwards under his stewardship? He walked away from the mic, and I think he came back and he had words a little later. And as I said, Eden's on the call, so I'm not going to repeat them, the words. But how would he take defeats? Because, like, I would think it's harsh to level it out, and the Clare football has gone backwards under his stewardship. He's come in at late notice. They were unlucky not to get promoted. There's been a lot of turnover in Clare football. There isn't a huge amount of footballers to choose from. And they had a great decade there with Colm Collins in charge. But to get back to that level, there's a bit of work to be done. So I can understand him being not taking that question too kindly. Whatever about the words that were used. Perhaps the wrong words.
I don't think that Peter has taken him backwards. I would say that they had a very successful league campaign. Obviously, they were caught at the start. They lost to Antrim. If they didn't lose that game, they'd have been promoted from three. When they were on their knees, they were on their knees with players and everything. I mean, the organisation to get that team back up and running. This year was all about almost consolidation. Got to a Munster final. Obviously, that didn't go great. But then, you know, you lose the Munster final and suddenly, you know, things start to prop up and is this fella going to the States and is that fella going away? And suddenly then you're thinking, you know, what's our actual goal? And then a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the goading. Like, that's almost a journalistic goading. Like, he's saying to them, have you taken them backwards? Like, that's the last question you want to hear there after a loss, a bad loss.
Oh, that's a loaded question, Jimmy.
That was a loaded question, but I think he did well to just step away. Whatever happened after happened, but I think this year was about consolidation for Clare, and obviously they'd be very disappointed with the result, but they're not out of that group. That group is not the group of death. You know, they can have another cutoff result and see where they end up, but it's just a disappointing result for them. But honestly, again, you're so gutted, disappointed, and you get that question.
Well, look, I'm, I'm in those scenarios a lot. It's a
exactly.
It's highly
you'd be,
pressurized.
You'd be asking those load of questions, you see.
Sometimes.
I see you giving to us as well.
You've set the template. Tell me, you've set the template here. Like. It's acceptable because you said it.
Like. I'm not necessarily an antagonist, but they're highly pressurized situations after games, and sometimes you've got to pick your moments.
But he's probably picked that moment to get a response.
Like, I don't know.
I do. But he got it. I guarantee he has.
Got the response.
But from Peter Cain's side of things, like, We see managers throughout the National League get very touchy about questions and after emotions are very high after games. Peter Keane and everyone within the Clare camp would have been looking at that game on Saturday as an opportunity to maybe do something and get a bit of a result, get a bit of momentum, get through the group. And the manner of that defeat was bad. He's obviously pissed off, as is all the Clare players. And I wouldn't say it would take much to set off any player or coach after a result like that and a performance like that. So to get that question, we were talking about last week about the Armagh Donegal row after the Ulster final.
Yeah.
In the heat of that moment, you're hot under a collar, even if you're a cool customer, emotions are high, and a question like that is, there's a little bit of spice on that question, I would say. And the Peter Keane is hardly going to go, do you know what? Yeah. You've gone back under me.
Local press. Like, local press.
Come on, like.
We've had James Horan on the show. And he said that the local press... you can't remember about it.
I don't remember that one.
He was even saying that the local press at times can really have a big say. Do you know? So if you don't have them on side...
But they can have a massive say. And it's hugely
they
influential
can take,
as well.
Yeah. Exactly. And they can take the supporters either side of that line. So... Yeah. You know, you need them all. You need everyone. If they're from your own county, you need everyone pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, yeah.
But in defense of the journalist as well, like, he's a Clare supporter as well. So there's frustration around the whole team.
Yes.
You can get the sense of, like, oh, Jesus, I'm pissed off here. You know, emotions are high. It was a bad night for Clare football.
Questions. I've seen managers react to the blandest of questions of all time in a press conference or in post-match interviews. And I've seen them not react to other questions. Sometimes you get away with it, sometimes you don't. So,
but he wanted the reaction. He wanted a reaction. The question was not, he had no interest in the answer to that question. He just wanted something.
Need to be on the journalist beat. Me and Jimmy need to go in there post match with the mics.
Was there a Monday minute? Hold on a second. Was there a Monday minute today? I haven't seen it yet.
I missed the Monday minute.
No, it's midweek minute this week.
Okay.
Because I was in Portugal.
The alliteration is out the window. Okay. That
might make an appearance. Porrig McMahon's clash with Peter Keane.
What's your take on that then?
I just found it funny. But my take on this is that Down playing their first All-Ireland Senior Football Championship game in 6 years. Like that's a sentence I'm going to say again. Their first All-Ireland Senior Football Championship game in 6 years. 3 years Conor Laverty is over this team and waiting to play in the All-Ireland Series. They've been in the Tailteann Cup. They've eventually got their way out of it. 2012 was the last win for Down football outside of Newry in the Championship. I think Laverty was even top scorer back then as well. So, like,
who
for that
against? Go on, trivia team. Who did they beat in 2012 outside of Newry? You're the journalist, T. Come on.
I don't know.
This is what happens when you get asked direct questions. You don't like it.
Name the six starting forwards that day.
And who was the right?
Mark Poland. Benny Coulter. Conor Laverty.
Benny Coulter would be there.
Marty Clark
was gonzo. He was gone back.
He went back, sorry.
That was a hell of a...
Was Mickey Linden playing, no?
No, Mickey wasn't there. No, he wasn't. But just the performance from Down, like, there's a template there, and I know there's a number of different ways to play football under these new rules, but Down, like, they mowed Clare down at the weekend. If you see Daniel Guinness's goal, intercepts a hand pass from Aguero,
he's
trying
a tank.
To find... Yeah, he just takes off.
He is an animal.
Yeah, just takes off Guinness. And he did the same thing against Fermanagh. Buried a brilliant goal with a huge run through the heart of the defence. Did the same thing, played a 1-2 and buries it from 20 yards. Havern kicks a number of two-pointers. Danny McGill kicks a number of two-pointers. Mm. And they just racked up such a high score. A beautiful day for football. There was a bit of a breeze, but like it's hard to play in those days as well. We had a match Sunday morning in Cratlow and the ground was it was so hard and heavy. And for actually to let the ball do the work for you is a difficult thing because If you turn that ball over, it's a long time trying to win it back. So I just thought Down played
they
that
They do
extra
seem
really
to
well.
Have the two-pointers don't do a tee because even where they're pulling the trigger from, there's no delay. They know that they have the range. McGill's ones were two with the left from almost the exact spot. Two great scores. And obviously Haverin's a serious kicker, but the 2 points is such an advantage. If you can get on top and you're doubling the scores per attack, like it's just
momentum-wise.
It is such huge momentum. And next thing, you're under the cosh for a while and you look up the scoreboard and you're 10 down. Under the old rules, you might be 5 down. You're 10 down because the 2 points are going over the black spot.
And their first goal was a shot dropping short from Oran Murdoch, and John McGeough got there ahead of Eamon Tuberty. I'm just after watching one of the Loud defenders make a full length diving block. Awfully, you've pulled us back to a 1 point game, lads. It's actually.
Are you listening to that? We're saying, no, you're talking about
it. The last time I looked at the game, Cloud were 5 points up, and Offaly have just hit 4 points in the spin, and Louder after making a final block there. So, look, Clare now are in a very precarious position, but as you mentioned, James, they've got Loud and Monaghan in the group, so Loud play Monaghan next, then Down go up to Loud, and I think it probably takes the pressure off Down a little bit because they've got the head-to-head on Clare. Three teams obviously get through in the group, and Clare are going to have to pull out a result against Loud or Monaghan now to be able to somehow find their way up. Even then, it mightn't be enough. It mightn't even be enough at that stage because Down have them on the head-to-head, as I mentioned.
No, but like, if you
reckon that was the game, Clare, they wouldn't say this publicly. They're looking at that game going, this is what we need a result here. And the fact that it wasn't, we lost by a point or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they were, as you said, mauled out. So
it's
a big ask to turn that around. The more so than what we said about Mayo at the top of the show. Losing your first, like the World Cup, lose your first game. You're chasing your tail. It's the same job here, lads.
Yeah.
Do you know what was a successful year for Clare though? Say they obviously launched a promotion challenge. Okay, fell short, but beat the two promoted teams. Then got to Munster final away to Kerry. The chance of winning that are 1%. And then there's this talk of fellas going to the States and you know all this stuff in the camp, or they've lost a bit of focus. They're never going to get to an All-Ireland quarterfinal this year. The fact they got to the group was probably as far as they're going to go. So, I think, they're fine. They're fine. Next year, they'll obviously have to have a tilt to getting promoted and try and better this year. But, this year wasn't the year that they're going to absolutely railroad teams that go on to an All-Ireland quarterfinal or a semi-final. That was never in the plan. From the outside, looking in, that's what I would have felt.
Yeah, I think promotion is the big one, and then getting back to Division 2. But like, there's talk as well, and I'd say a lot of people in Clare would be against it, about is it seeding Munster again?
Yeah.
Trying to keep Kerry and Cork apart so they can meet in their Munster finals. Like, I think
the Munster Championship's the only provincial championship. That's a lot of shit, lad.
Yeah, I think there was there 10,000 at the Kerry-Clare game in the Munster final. And for the Roscommon game, I think there was six.
There were six. There was 1,500 in Chiswick Park for Clare and Down. There were 7,000 in Mayo and Cavan.
A great venue and a beautiful weekend. 6,000 was a sin.
Yeah.
Kerry and the Rossies, lads, if we're getting on to that, was...
we must get to that right now.
Wasn't great stuff. And we said... Kerry, you go on Jimmy. You go on Kerry, Jimmy.
Yeah, if you were at home, James, if you weren't in Portugal, as Killian McQuillan, that man who opened the scoring after 10 seconds, buries a penalty for Loud in the 51st minute. They're now 4 points clear. If you were in Clarny at the weekend, would you have sauntered up the road to Fitzgerald Stadium and joined the masses of 6,000 people? And tell me what Kerry got out of that win at the weekend. Because Jim O'Connor was back. He looked good. Joe O'Connor was man of the match. Mm. What else did they get out of that win?
What did they get out of that win?
How did it help them move forward?
I don't think that they got much. Only getting that starting 15 together again, getting Dermot back individually, it looked a little bit like, they knew they were going to win. They were never going to win under that much pressure. Joe O'Connor played very well in the first half, wing forward. Two wing backs for Kerry played well, Brian Begley and Gavin White. I think that's where they kind of launched a lot of their attacks. They're very quick and dangerous now from the wings, and they have great penetration to create scores. I still think with Kerry, if Kerry are going to win it, and they're not in a bad place to, so they're probably very highly rated or ranked at the moment, I think they need to kick it. I think we're still turning down a lot of opportunities to kick the ball. Like, it's an open game now. And Roscommon definitely didn't want to kick it the last day. But I think that Kerry need to. Like, if you look at the handling of the players they have inside, Clifford's hands are brilliant. Gainey's hands, that's his main attribute. Dylan Gainey, great run maker. When Jack came in first into the Kerry team, I remember the first thing he did was he started making them kick the ball from half back to half forward. Even when it wasn't on, he said, I want you to kick that either diagonally or cross field or maybe, you know, straight down the line, whatever. Whatever it is, you're getting half forward lines in the game through a kick. If he just forces them to do that one principle a little bit more, I think it would enhance Clifford even more. It would enhance Gainey even more. It would enhance Shaunie Shea even more. Because although Kerry are winning comfortably, they're not really, you know, shooting the lights out. But that said, I'm looking at it from as a supporter, which is probably the worst person to talk to, because down here you're thinking, you know, what do you actually want from the game? Do you want to test? Do you want it to be close and Kerry to pull through? Do you want them to absolutely, you know, score 7 or 8 goals and win like that? And you still wouldn't give them any credit. So it's kind of hard to know what you want from them. But yeah, the one thing that I think that Kerry have as an X factor is they can kick the ball better than anyone in the country. But I don't think they're doing it as frequently as they could. And if you're going to do it anywhere at all, and actually pundits have actually highlighted Kerry's kicking. And I think
already
it's good, but it should be 10 times more often. But the one place you're going to kick is in the place you train. The last two games have been Fitzgerald Stadium. If you're not kicking regularly there, you're not going to take it on. So I think it just needs to be focused on.
But to me, they're missing, Paddy Clifford missing is a big part of that as well. Like he's a guy who's been so pivotal to that. Everything they do well in attack is obviously linked up with David Clifford as well. Like I think Kerry at their best, and I go back to that, kind of the Armagh game in Tralee in the National League where they blitz Armagh league final as well. That Armagh game was like the moment where they take advantage of the rules and they start that kick passing game, and they're going, there is no team better equipped to take advantage of that rule than Kerry. And when they do it, I agree, and at times, particularly that first quarter of the Cork game in the Munster semi-final, they look like the best team in the country, genuinely, when they play that way. So Paddy Clifford missing in the Munster final, and again, he's crucial to that kicking game, but I agree with you 100%. If and when they do that, that is their X factor outside of Armagh and Donegal, attack in different ways. Galway have loads of different attributes. Dublin have their certain players who can hurt teams. But Kerry at their best, that kicking game is there, and I think we will see that ramped up when Paddy Clifford comes back as well. But I agree, that's their best opportunity to win this thing.
James, just in terms of balance to the team when Paddy does return, like, you've got Barry Dan and Dearman in midfield, Joe playing so well at wing forward, he can obviously play midfield too, Shaunie O'Shea at 11, Micheál Byrne started at 12 the last day, but I think Jack has played about 7 different players at 12 throughout the season, and you've had Dylan Gainey, Paul Gainey and David Clifford up top. Those three have been the same three for quite a lot of games now over the last little while. Does Paddy go to 12? Is that natural? Is that just what happens here?
I don't think anyone is getting Paddy out of 11 in that Kerry team. He's probably the best centre forward in the country. So I think he'll play 11. I think he likes that full forward line, Jack. He likes Paul Gainey and the Dylan Gailey connection from Dingle. Clifford should be safe enough in there. So you're thinking then, where do you play Shaunie O'Shea? You know, is it a case of moving him to the wing? Or do you play him maybe top of the D or something, move Dylan Gainey out? So he will maybe have to put a square peg in a round hole.
Aidan started kicking off there, which he thought you were going to drop Shaunie O'Shea. Like, she's been quiet for 48 minutes, and then she hears you throw Shaunie O'Shea under the bus, and she's like, I'm not fucking having that, Dad.
I reckon Shaunie will go to 12 to see how it goes. I reckon it'll be Paddy 11. I was saying all through the National League and the start of the Championship, there's three positions up for grabbing that in that forward line. You know, if someone makes a play now, if the ball is moving and they can offer something, you know, in terms of kicking, receiving, getting a score, I think they can make a play for it. But
yeah,
Joe will probably be the 10 then if if Barry Dan O'Sullivan and Dermot can
stay fit. No sense, Jimmy. Just with Sean O'Shea inside, though. Would he go 14 with Cliff and Gainey, Paul Gainey? No.
He could, but Dylan Gainey is the one, you know, that we have done here that we're thinking is going to be the next...
The link player.
Well, not even the next link player, but he's the next really, really talented corner forward that we have, and he's been tipped for a while. We thought last year was going to be his breakout year. He's had some injuries. And then, do you know what I don't like doing is bringing inside forwards out to the wing forward positions. Do you know, like, if you sacrifice them to come out and play 10 or 12, you lose confidence very quickly out there. You know,
whatever happened to you in a Kerry jersey?
It didn't. I started a couple of games at 10, maybe.
Yeah,
but at the start of my career.
Yeah.
Just for the fielding.
Kickouts.
Just for fielding.
You were there like Darryl Shea. You stay.
No, maybe it was 11.
I'll go up for this one.
Maybe it was 11. But I was a pure, like, lazy 11. I'd be encroaching on the full forward line. They'd be like, James, get out of here. I'm like, no. I'm staying in here. Top of the D. Literally top of the D. Literally
stay high.
But it'd be interesting. And again, maybe Gary might have to do something where they really plan a brilliant substitution late on, where they have one of their better players held in reserve. And like that is not going to be something that one of those fellas wants to hear.
No.
But it could be something they hold in the locker.
There's a minute to go and Offaly midfielder Eamon Maher is after kicking a two-pointer to level the game. It's going down to the wire here in Newbridge in the Leinster minor final. And now the low midfielder has made an unbelievable catch in Tom Lehiff country from the kick out. So it's savage stuff. And now the corner forward, Conal Kelly, who I mentioned earlier, is breaking through. Has he put it over the bar? He has, and loudly by a point.
What's left?
This is class. Live commentary.
There's a minute to go. It's unbelievable.
You should do the commentary, Tom. You should start your commentary debut tonight. Give us the last 60 seconds.
Broadcast this, Tommy.
Should I do it on Twitter? No, we don't. Just the Rossies at the weekend, James. I thought they started quite well. They made life a little difficult for Dublin. And then they just, they didn't give up. But once Clifford buried that first goal, it was like, okay, game over around the whole ground. It just felt like it was game over.
I think they worked really hard in the first half and they did, I think, as a lot of teams maybe should do when their underdogs come to a ground. They slowed the game down, did a lot of slow attacks. Didn't waste time, but I mean, they took a bit of sting out the game early on. But then once, even I think Darren Sullivan said it in commentary, once the 45, 15 minutes hit and they got tired, Kerry were able to chip a few scores. I don't think the result was ever really in doubt. Cox came on, actually. Conor Cox came on and kicked a couple of nice points. But Roscommon, they always had this kind of free-flowing attack where they had fellas who could kind of do anything. They could nearly get 9 or 10 points in their own at times, but their attack just doesn't seem to be as dangerous at the moment for some reason, when it should have almost been the opposite with the new rules and everything. You know, Ben O'Carroll is lively, obviously, but they're not really as dangerous.
You used the phrase, Jimmy, about Mayo at the top of the show, that they feel like it's stale. The Rossies, we see this, like, that the National League wasn't great. I know they get promoted, but look at that league final. The second half against Monaghan, they're absolutely white. And you kind of say, oh, well, is that? They're playing London in the Championship the following week. Is there a bit of a pass there? They were bullied off the pitch by Galway, the Connacht semi final. Like, that was a beat down. And you just get the sense they've got really high quality players. We've said it so many times, really sounds patronised at times up front. But there's a lot of miles at the clock. And it just, you get the sense, like if I said Mayo lack a bit of a spark, the Rossies just look like they're flat. Their best players aren't really reaching the heights that they have. And that's just normal. That can happen as players maybe get a bit more experience or anything like that, or a bit more miles on the clock, I say. But put it this way, at the Rossies 2 years ago, they probably should beat Dublin in the opening round of this stage of the Championship, this series. Davy Burke is the new manager in there, and there's a real bounce around the Roscommon team, and it doesn't look like they've had that at any stage this season.
Yeah.
They look like they're in a tough place. The group, can they pick up a win? They play Meath, they play Cork, but it's. I don't think Roscommon are as good a team this season as they were, you know, maybe 18, 24 months ago.
But it's, you know, with teams like Roscommon, this group can be difficult, because what are they playing for? You know, what's
just
the...
Just get through, Jimmy.
What's the goal? I know, just to get through.
Knockouts, at least.
But you have then teams who are really coming into their best, and they have the goal of winning the All-Ireland. You know, going on to get the biggest prize, cement a place. It's like the motivation for certain teams is so much greater than others. You can be on the receiving end of a little bit of a drubbing, because you're not going to be as at it as a team who really needs to win.
Maybe that could be a bit of it, but Roscommon just looked like a team that second half where they didn't have that spark. Tough place for a team to be, you know.
Lads, it looks like Offaly are about to win the Leinster minor title. Their goalkeeper,
the loud dream is over.
Their goalkeeper Jack Ryan come up the field to kick a 2-point free from near the sideline, and as Loud desperately tried to win the ball back, they had one last attack. They put a high press on. They're after fouling the Offaly corner forward. So it looks like Offaly are going to get the job done.
So what's the score?
It's going to the last one. It's Offaly 218, 24 points. Loud 314.
So Gabe.
One of the Loud subs has just been sent off for that tackle. It was a kind of a shoulder towards the head. It was Conal Mannion. It was sort of harsh on the Offaly corner forward. But it looks like this is going to be it. I'd say when this ball goes dead, it's going to be all over. That's
Loud are too dominant at this stage.
Yeah, okay, well,
winning the senior, winning the 20s. It's good to spread it out a bit.
It's been a pretty decent one for them. They won their first Leinster senior title.
Who's the manager? He should be asked. He's taking Loud backwards.
We'll dig into it, but Jesus, lads, I'm telling
you. It's been a lot of success, but you've let everyone down.
It was.
Tommy would ask him that question. You're taking Tommy's there going, that's actually not a bad question.
James, you always said it. And actually, the free was nailed. So I think it's another 2-point free there. Yeah, it is. Another 2-point free. So that's game dust, I would imagine, for Offaly. Their first minor title since 1989. Yeah. And another county that have got so much right at underage level over the last couple of years. And all the talk would have been about Loud coming into it. They won their first Leinster senior title in 68 years, their first Leinster under 20 title in 44. And now Offaly have won their first minor Leinster title since 1989. So Leinster football is where it's at the minute. Lads, that's a good hour put down. Paddy, you did so with your little daughter in your arms. James, you did so after a really heavy couple of days in Portugal. So fair play to you both for different reasons.
She woke up twice. Jimmy dropping Sean O'Shea and then you saying, that was a great question, Tom. She was like, even my 3-week-old daughter knows that's not a great question.
Daniel Flynn returned for Kildare at the weekend, a 3-19-1-11 win against Tipperary. Leitrim put on a good show against Sligo. They were leading up to the last 10 minutes, but Sligo turned around and won it. Offaly held off Waterford. Wicklow got the better of Laois in the Tailteann Cup in Group 2. Limerick defeated Antrim and Corrigan Park. London had a fright on against Westmeath, but Westmeath turned it around late on. Luke Loughlin delivering again. Carlow again. Another brilliant performance. A draw with High Flying Wexford, 2-16-1-19. And Fermanagh recovering from that first round defeat to Carlow, 2-19-17 points. The scenes in Newbridge here is the Offaly lads are getting their king's chairs up on the shoulders of their supporters at the minute, and they're
fantastic. That is class.
Unbelievable scenes. Delightful. Round one fixtures next weekend. Meade against Cork and Navan. We'll just have to see now in our members' pod, how can Meade get ready for that game? Can they respond, or will they be like Mayo and fall short? Loud are back up against Monaghan and Newbridge at 4:45. We'll be talking a lot about that game. Armagh are playing Derry in the Athletic Grounds, and Donegal are playing Tyrone on Saturday evening. All four games on Saturday, going to be a cracking weekend. Paddy Andrews, James Donoghue, thanks very much. That's a big pod put down. I didn't expect it to run to an hour and 8 minutes, but it has, James.
There's just no time frame for this pod anymore. It could be boys, 3 hours on Wednesday.
Jimmy, you're right. Get a good night's sleep. Get over the jet lag. Yeah, you'll be good. You'll be good tomorrow.
Slán, lads. Thanks for tuning in. See you, folks.
Bye-bye. Good night, friends. Good night.